There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Monday. And we're got a lot of people coming by the show today. A lot of stuff going on. I do want to just talk Dr. Bill's business for just 1 second. Now, staff meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams will give us an update here around 12:35. But just a whole bunch of thunderstorms. So we've already dealt with some of them in Mobile and Baldwin counties. And looking back to the southwest and coming off the Gulf and just south of New Orleans, a whole other bunch of them coming our way. Dr. Bill said maybe some of these storms could have some straight line winds of note, but other than that, just I guess garden variety summertime thunderstorms, but they're going to hang out with us for a few days. But yes, that's still happening here. It's going to be happening throughout the afternoon commute as well as into this evening. He'll give us the full timeline around 12:35. All right, coming up on the show today, my buddy John Sharp from AL.com. He joins us about 1:15. We'll talk with him, plus a conversation I had with Dale Jackson on his Alabama Politics This Week radio show, or TV show. It's radio, but it's got pictures. So it's on the TV on the weekend. We'll play some of the audio from that discussion and talk about it with you coming up. Also, Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, joins us here in just about 6 minutes or so. And I want to get into a couple things with him. One of them is a question we're talking about with you in our online opinion poll question. Now, a couple places to get this. Number one, you can see the question on the front page of fmtalk1065.com. So if you'll go to the front page, just fmtalk1065.com, on the right-hand column, you'll see the 1-800-GOT-JUNK logo, and you'll see the question, would you attend a campaign rally for President Donald Trump if he were to come to Mobile? You know, that's been the discussion, like, is he coming back? I mean, if he's going to come back, it's most likely going to happen between now and the primary runoff day, which is July 14th, right? So it's probably between now and then. Would you attend that campaign rally for President Trump? And that's also, if you'll go to facebook.com/FM Talk 106.5, we got the question up there as well. If you want to Facebook it, would you attend a campaign rally for President Trump if he were to come to Mobile? A lot of votes on there right now. You can vote through our Facebook page as well. So what is this coming from? Well, it's coming from the discussion of Tulsa and the rally in Tulsa that was not well attended, right? At least nowhere near the predictions that were made by the president. AP says President Donald Trump's return to the campaign trail was designed to show strength and enthusiasm heading into the critical final months before an election that'll decide whether he remains in the White House. Instead, his weekend rally in Oklahoma highlighted growing vulnerabilities and crystallized a divisive re-election message that largely ignores broad swaths of voters. All right, so the numbers are the thing, right? And I tell you, President Trump has put himself into that. His obsession with numbers of crowds and how many people are there, and what's this number, what's that number? And the president talked about how many people were supposed to be there. They didn't show up in mass as the president had predicted. Now, there you go. That's the facts. Are the number of people who predicted were not there. From there, we go into, you know, all the prognosticators saying that this is a barometer on his chances for 2020. The fact that the people didn't show up means they won't show up to vote. You know, there's so much going on, so many other factors in this. I don't know that you can dial in and say that the attendance in Tulsa equals the lack of enthusiasm in November. I don't think you can rule out that some people may have... Why would the people have signed on to come or say they were coming and then didn't show up. They wouldn't have a change of heart in a day or two. That's the Trump supporters, and that's one of the things that the dyed-in-the-wool Trump supporters aren't changing their mind right now. They're not. So is it, you know, Mike Gallagher's show before us talked about it, that maybe it's some kind of threat of violence happening with protests around there, or maybe people didn't want to be in a crowd because I don't know, but to say it's just one equals the other. I don't know. You can do that. But we're going to ask that question, Todd Stacey, coming up in just a second. And then the bigger question we have here is, okay, so that's Tulsa. This is here. If President Trump shows up here sometime in the next couple of weeks or, heck, next few months to do an event like he's done twice before, well, he did it once as a candidate, once as the president. If he comes back and does this, would you go? And does that, in your opinion, show your support, or if you wouldn't go, more interestingly enough, if you're somebody who would not go to an event but for sure would show up in November to vote for President Trump, that's also interesting as well. So we'll talk about that with Todd coming up in just a little bit, but we'll take your text on that as well at 343-0106, 343-0106. So yeah, there you go. Facebook or the website, both places have our online opinion poll question. You can take part in it there. And while you're on the Facebook page, remember, we still have a 4 more days of this week's FM Talk 106.5 Fish and Photo Contest. So hopefully you've gotten your pictures in there and you're getting people to like the picture, because that's what happens. Somebody likes the picture, and then the person that has most likes at the end of the week, which for us is Thursday to Thursday in this, will win one of those FM Talk 106.5 Fishing Team dry fit shirts with the speckled trout and the red snapper on it. They're snazzy, and each week we're giving one away. So might as well be you. Post up your fishing picture, new, old, kids, no kids, dogs and kids, whatever you want to put in the picture. Put it up there and let people like it, and hopefully you'll win that shirt. All right. Coming right back, Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com, joins us.
Is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, once again, the online opinion poll question brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. You can check it out on the website or our Facebook page. Would you attend a campaign rally for President Donald Trump if he were to come to Mobile? We'll tally those votes through the hour. All right, I also want to read this tweet that came from Governor Ivey, or somebody at Governor Ivey's office here, sent out the Twitter. And maybe it was the governor herself there on the smartphone tweeting this quote today. It said, Governor Kay Ivey issues the following statement in regards to an incident at Talladega on June 21st, 2020. Said, I am shocked and appalled to hear of yesterday's vile act against Bubba Wallace in Talladega. There is no place for this disgusting display of rates of hatred in our state. Racism and threats of this nature will not be condoned or tolerated, and I commit to assisting in any way possible to ensure that the person responsible for this is caught and punished. While the important conversation of racial reconciliation is ongoing all over the country, it is clear there is much work to do. Bubba Wallace is one of us. He's a native of Mobile. On behalf of all Alabamians, I apologize to Bubba Wallace as well as to his family and friends for the hurt this has caused and regret the mark it leaves on our state. I ask the NASCAR family to rally around Bubba and his team as they compete today, and I know there will be more people who are wishing him well today than ever before. All right, so there's a statement from Governor Ivey, and I'm joined by our buddy Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com. And the Bubba Wallace story there, the governor, well, got the governor to communicate with us here in the state, so there's some benefit to that.
Well, they got it out pretty early this morning. This of course, this incident happened last night. I probably saw it, I don't know, like at 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, something like that, so it happened pretty late. We knew there was going to be a story about, all the Confederate flags at Talladega, which is pretty obvious. I mean, if you've ever been to Talladega, there are Confederate flags everywhere. And since NASCAR banned that just a few weeks ago, maybe even a week ago, we knew that Talladega, you're going to have people, kind of make a show there. And that happened all outside the track. But this is completely different, obviously. This is not some people, getting backlashing against some kind of rule. This is a noose. This is an extremely hateful and violent act. And so we don't know the details. That NASCAR said they were investigating. That's the first word they put out. Is, hey, we're investigating it. They brought in the FBI. So I hope that we actually find out more details about this, because you don't just say this and say, well, it's gone. We need to know the circumstances behind it. I hope there's video footage. I hope somebody gets caught. But I was, I thought it was pretty interesting that the governor was out pretty early, just like, you know, 8:30 or so this morning, with a statement condemning this, knowing that this is a lot bigger than just Alabama. This is a national story. It's going to be around for a few days, to make sure that, you know, beyond our borders, people know that this is not us. This is not representative of people here.
Well, I think, like I said this morning when I talked about the story, I'm going to sit back and watch this and wait for NASCAR to do an investigation. And I want them to really go forward with a in-depth, real deal investigation. I think if they don't, if they don't really show that they're taking every step in this investigation, you're going to leave people out there to come up with theories one way or the other. I mean, you've got to do a real investigation, forensics, the whole nine.
Oh, absolutely. You're so right. Because if details aren't there, like you just said, you leave it up to the imagination. And of course, it's not beyond the realm of possibility that it's some kind of false flag kind of situation. We don't want to assume that.
Right.
But it also leaves the door open for, you know, copycats in the future. Hey, if you want to get your event more attention, if you want to stir up trouble somewhere, hey, just do this. People have to know that the FBI and whatever organization is going to investigate and going to find out exactly what happened. If they don't, it only invites, incidents like this. Either way it happens, there has to be consequences. That's really important.
Yeah, you talk about the other part of this, the flag of the battle flag outside the Talladega Super Speedway there on the, where they're on the road, or the pulling of the banner, the flag over Talladega. I wonder if this is something going forward that will be, I'm not surprised we saw it this weekend. Will we see it in a year, in 2 years? My question is, does NASCAR lose fans from this? Do they gain fans for it? You see what I'm saying? Or, because, I mean, if somebody's not watching, they'll protest a year or two, and then there'll be nothing. They won't attend the race. They won't ride by with the flag.
Yeah, that's a really good question. And I'm not into NASCAR. I was into NASCAR when I was a kid, not so much anymore. But I do know that the fans are passionate. They really are, and including a whole bunch in this state. You'd like to think that, you know, that was not all just tied to, you know, one symbol. Of course, I tend to think it's more about just, you know, what they want to do and being told they can't. Sometimes when you tell people they can't, that really, you know, ticks them off. And I understand that. But, you know, I would hope at least that in this situation, when it comes to the flag, I always go back to this. It's not about how it makes you feel. It's about how you make somebody else feel. And if you can honestly think in your heart that, you know, flying this flag it means nothing or does not negatively impact a black person and make them think, some bad thoughts impact them negatively, then fine. I just don't know if anybody can honestly say that. But then again, people just hate being told no. So I wasn't surprised to see it this weekend at all. I think I wrote that this morning. We knew there was going to be a backlash in Talladega. I wasn't surprised to see the banner flying behind the airplane, defund NASCAR, which we could, that's a whole other
right.
Ball of wax. But you know, again, that was going to be the story, and that was going to be bad enough for the state. Here comes this new situation, and it's completely different. It almost makes you forget about the other. But certainly a little bit of a black eye for us today. Hopefully when they resume the race today, if they do, it will be incident free.
Yeah, we'll watch for actual, you know, the sport of stock car racing. You know, instead of the political story around it, it'll actually be the racing report versus the political activities. All right, I want to check your thoughts on this, because we've asked it in our online opinion poll question. I've been wondering this since this weekend, as the numbers did not show up in force for President Trump's rally, his campaign event there in Tulsa that he had predicted and others in his staff had predicted. Now, I see that and I go, okay, there's a thing, there's numbers. Let's think about all the different things that could have led to this. But that puts me in the minority in the media because most jump to assume that it was a direct corollary to his chances in November. Do you think it is a direct corollary? Do you think there's, you take that one event, does that mean he's done for because of Tulsa?
Oh my gosh. I mean, that's frustrating to read. And of course, okay, we'll put to those same reporters, or same, you know, Twitterati, the Twitter expert.
Twitterati.
if let's say it was filled to the brim, would they then have said, oh, well, looks like President Trump's going to get reelected?
Bingo.
Of course not.
They would
of course
never,
not. They look
yep.
for anything to kind of, you know, bring the president down. Here's what, first of all, there were some theories over the weekend that, you know, people had gone and bought tickets with the purpose of not going to, you know, kind of make the crowd look worse and stuff like that.
Did that end up standing up? People talked about the folks on TikTok or something, you know,
There was some talk that some younger people were doing that, but we don't know. I mean, these aren't tickets that you buy, you just reserve them, so it's completely possible. My point is, it is a really bad way to look at a race and say, oh, well, it's going this way or it's going that way. For one thing, we're in the middle of a pandemic, and as excited as everybody might get about a candidate, even as, you know, pumped up as you might get about Donald Trump, you might not want to go into an arena with tens of thousands of people. So, I mean, I don't look at it like that. But I tell you what, on the other side, the Trump campaign only has themselves to blame because they were the ones pumping up the crowd numbers. Mm-hmm. They were saying, hey, this is going to be a sellout event. Look at this enthusiasm. Y'all just wait. It's going to be a record crowd. And so when it wasn't, then they had egg on their face. So crowd size, just as we saw, you know, just because Mitt Romney had a big crowd or John McCain had a big crowd, it didn't mean they were going to win. Same thing for Trump. It's a good show of enthusiasm within a place, but look, we're in the middle of a pandemic. You cannot expect the same thing to happen this year that it did in 2016.
Do you think on top of the pandemic, I have heard people say, well, people might have been fearful of coming out because of maybe the chance of violence, because President Trump was even saying, you know, talking about how he's going to shut down the violence if it showed up. Do you think that resonated with anybody?
I don't know. It would with me. I mean, it would give me, if I knew that there were going to be folks out there with, you know, weapons of some kind or just kind of being intimidating, it would give me second thoughts, right? Especially if I was trying to take my family or something. So I think all those things combined, we can point to a lot of different reasons why that arena wasn't filled to the brim. And my point is, politically, it really doesn't matter. It's great fodder to talk about on Twitter and get all these Twitter experts to say, look at this. What is he going to do, lose Oklahoma? I mean, come on. But
right. Okay, you just did that. So if exactly right. I thought the same thing. So everybody would say, no, he's not going to lose Oklahoma. So therefore, are you telling me that the turnout, maybe they're saying that the turnout, because that's such a solid state for him, should have been higher. And therefore, if you look at one of those Rust Belt states, you know, you go to a Pennsylvania, Indiana, Michigan, something like that, then the problem's going to be bigger there because they're more of a purple state. I guess that's the takeaway.
I mean, maybe. And look, he does need enthusiasm. There's no question. To win this election this year, President Trump has to have an incredibly enthusiastic base, because the other base is really riled up and probably hasn't been this riled up in a long time. So he definitely needs not just the same thing to happen, but maybe bigger numbers in 2020 than he had in 2016. So that enthusiasm matters. I'm just saying, you know, a crowd showing up to an event is a poor measure of it. But I'll tell you that, you know, we can do this another time, go more deeper into it. But his poll numbers in those states aren't looking good. You don't want to look at the national polls so much because we don't have a national election. We have state-by-state elections. But mm-hmm. some of those states he won last time, like Wisconsin, like Michigan. He didn't win Arizona, but Arizona's one of them. Those polls aren't looking good for him right now. So there is a need to improve. There's a need to recharge the base and do a lot of things. But let's talk about poll numbers. Let's talk about actual metrics. you know, getting caught, and this is, you know, good advice for your audience, getting caught up in crowd sizes, whether they are big or small, is not a good indicator of the electorate.
Yeah, right now in our poll question, Todd, 87% of respondents say yes, they would attend a campaign rally for President Trump if he were to come here and come back to Mobile. Go into the break. Coming right back, more with Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com. When we come back, he'll tell you how to get his email in your inbox 6 days a week, the information you need for national stories, state news, and just a real good way to get your day started and get the information you need before you even tune in to our show. Or maybe during. All right. It's a combo deal. 12:30. We'll check in with Dr. Bill and be right back.
Is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:53, FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Listen to this. Reminds me of the... those in the know will know why this song reminds me of South Park, the show. Are we in the new season? I'm so sad. I have no time really to consume TV in the evening. I love the South Park. Just don't know if it's. Are we in a new season? Are we waiting? Is it? Do they take summer? Are they in? I tell you what does have a new season. Whenever I can get away from children and in front of a TV set, I am so embarrassed, but I'll tell you, so embarrassed when I got hooked on this show a couple of years ago. I don't know where the family was doing something. They were out for like 7 or 8 days, so I could watch grown-up TV shows. Yellowstone with Kevin Costner. So I started watching that thing, and I think the new season started yesterday, so I'll be watching that. There's a show I've seen, and I've watched, I think, every episode up to now. I fool myself and say, well, you know, it's in Montana, it's cool, it's all this stuff I like, but it's a soap opera. It is a straight-up soap opera. I mean, I can't be proud of that show, but that's one I have seen. So somebody's saying South Park is not in currency. Okay. All right. So Dan says on the text line, listening to y'all, listening, and you guys said that the electorate for Trump had to be excited because the other side was, and I could understand if it was anybody but Biden. May stand a chance against Trump, but I just can't see a guy who can't complete a sentence win that election. If he does, I'm just going to say, Lord, help us, this nation, but do you really think he has a chance? Dan, I can only answer for myself. I don't know about Todd. The Biden thing, how many people will go out to vote for Biden? I don't know. There's some percentage of people that will vote for Biden, but they'll vote against Trump. The same way, there's a lot of people, even though everybody wants to wrap themselves in the Trump flag, right, and say, oh, I was on board early on. There were a lot of Republican votes that went to President Trump because there was no, and independent votes. And the people in those states, like Todd talked about, in Michigan and in Pennsylvania, those votes coming because of Hillary Clinton. There are two things I think that drove a sizable share of Republican votes for President Trump in 2016. And that was people voting against Hillary Clinton, specifically the personality, the cult of personality of Hillary Clinton, voting against that. Not even the Democrat Party, but Hillary Clinton herself. And number two on that was people saying, listen, if Hillary Clinton or if a Democrat is in there, these judgeships that are coming up are going to go to the Democrats. And after 8 years of Obama, people were like, we're not going to do this. We're going to make sure somebody's in there that's not going to put those kind of justices in. Now, you can go back and have a forensic view of what choices have been made so far in judgeships out there. But that, I think that drove a lot. So to get back to your question, Dan, I think that there will be an effect on the left, just like there was on the right, of voting again. There will be people lined up, and their turnout, I think it'll be good for Democrats. They will have people rally to vote against Trump. Now, by default, yes, Biden's name is there. How many people out there are enthused about Joe Biden, the candidate? I gotta imagine it's not the overwhelming. I bet you if you had some kind of exit poll, more people would say they went to vote against, in the Democrats, would go to vote against Trump than would be voting for Biden. But you remember, there was a big degree of that, too, and I would have to go back and pull the numbers, of the people that showed up to vote against Hillary Clinton as much as they voted for then-candidate Donald J. Trump. So, I mean, it's just the way. So, Dan, I think there's a chance. I think there's a chance. Now, there's a couple of stories out over the weekend. What Todd and I were talking about, this idea that Tulsa is representative, it's a barometer of what's going to happen in November. I don't think that's a direct analog. I think there's so many other factors it could be. I'm not discounting it's that one, but to say that's the only one, I don't think that's accurate. And those that are calling for a Trump landslide or a Biden landslide, maybe it's just my nature, but I don't feel that either. I feel a tight race. I feel, on any given day, it could be leaning more towards Biden or more towards President Trump, but I think it depends on President Trump being able to get those votes out, because the people coming to vote against Trump, I think, are going to be solid to get there. They're going to show up. So what is President Trump going to do to make sure his voters show up with that same degree of enthusiasm? And there's a long time between now and November. We'll see what it is. You could say today it's because of President Trump and the attacks he's been getting. But who knows what the situation is by November. And also, this economic situation is huge. The economy starts that V-shaped rise that President Trump talked about. It's going to buoy the number of people that make sure to come out for him, because they don't want that economy to go away, right? But if it stagnates, does that help people come to vote against Trump to try to do something different? All right, we'll talk about this when we get back at 343-0106. Plus, John Sharp joins us next hour. We're talking about diverging diamonds. We're talking about George Wallace Tunnel and Airbus tariffs, all straight ahead.